It's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best. Numero uno. We like a sumo. Up against the straw weight. Our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And
it's week six. The champs are back. Mr. Just Right. Hanging on by a thread here. Joining me live via satellite from his mobile office, Len Biggs. Len, what's up?
Yep. Checking out the mobile office today. I'm in a new spot here. I'm trying out the Giant Eagle parking lot here for my mobile office. Generally, I like to set up shop over there, back corner of the Du Bois Mall, around like the Hampton Inn. Mm-hmm. When I call in the house's spot, or here when you're sick or something happens, we can't get together physically. So this is a new spot. We'll see if I get interrupted by anyone or, you know, possibly cuffed and stuff for loitering.
Yeah, I'm a little bit under the weather, so we're keeping a safe distance. Len and I were talking. I probably got sick of all the vitriol being spit at the local high school football game at the head coach. Just a lot of loud mouths there. Just really abhorrent behavior, quite honestly, and it got me sick, so I'm just going to blame it on that. You know, Len's going to post up there in the corner of the parking lot. And Len, just to give our viewers a little bit of a feel for what that mobile office looks like, can you look around and just kind of give us a visual of what that mobile office looks like on the inside?
Yeah, the mobile office is it's sweet leather, you know, sweet caddy, but the cleanliness leaves something to be desired. Obviously, I'm not a tidy man. And when it comes to, you know, this car, I'm always delivering pizza in it. So I have about 12 empty bottles of water on the floor. And then I just stopped at Giant Eagle and went in, actually, because earlier I was here and I saw a bag of Flamin' Hot Funyuns that really caught my eye. And then I didn't buy it at the time. And then I came back now and I was like, you know what? I'm buying those Funyuns because they look really good. So I got a bag of Funyuns here and a couple other groceries I needed to get while I was there. And that's about it. That's the mobile office, man.
Well, nice wood grain, right? A nice translucent pearl color on the outside. Just a real establishment.
It's a beautiful car. It's a beautiful car.
It is. It's real, real low. They got some low pro tires on there, I think. Just extra low clearance there. Maybe, is there some ground effects on that thing, Len, if I'm not mistaken?
I don't think there's ground effects, but it's made for a big man like myself. I'll tell you that. It's a nice, luxurious seating, comfortable seat. It's a nice ride for someone like myself.
That's good. And, you know, as far as cleanliness goes, that just builds up your immune system, right? I mean, I bleach everything every day. I wipe it down. My immune system isn't built to handle the cold season, quite honestly, where, you know, you just got thick skin and you got a nice immune system. You beat many diseases without even flinching. I don't think you've ever had COVID during the outbreak. So, I mean, here we are.
I got it in February this past year, January, but it was after the it was over, basically. I did finally get it. But, you know, I'm obviously heavily vaxxed. I believe strongly in the vaccine. So I've been vaxxed several times for COVID. I got my flu shot this year. They're not 100% effective, but I'll tell you what, they keep me healthy the majority of the time. So that and the combination of the filth that I inhale on a daily basis, and that builds it up.
Yeah, I'm more of a natural immunity guy. Go to your vet, get some ivermectin, take it home, pop if something happens, and there you go. Just de-arm yourself. Get that right out of there. So
speaking, yeah, you're a notorious Robert Kennedy Jr. supporter, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean... Yeah. If JFK is not going to come back, or JFK Jr. is not going to come back like they say it is, the next best thing is RFK. So
exactly, if you can't get JFK Jr., let's get RFK.
I mean, we're still holding out hope over here. Any week now, you know.
Yeah,
the storm's coming, as I say. So you know what else is, speaking of sick and disgusting and gross, is my record last week at 5-9, just absolutely terrible. Oh man, you and Jerry both came in 9-5, some nice little records for you guys there. We're gonna try to fix that this week, Len. So you know, the talk of the NFL, everyone's talking about them, Len. The Pittsburgh Steelers get a week off. Riding high in the first place, so we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about them. The Stairway is also going to take a week off this week. Just collect ourselves. Just enjoy it while it lasts. You know what I mean? And we'll get back into it next week. But just wanted to point that out. Also, that you called it 100%. Couldn't have forecasted it any better. Lots of whining and moaning from us Yinzers, as usual. And and the Steel boys just proved us wrong. They just
It's in the script every single year. And I tell you, I was going to bet 17-16 exact score, because that's what I said last week, and I said it to a couple other people off the pod as well. So I was going to bet 17-16 Steelers correct score, which would have been a big payout, as it always is when you get correct score. And I didn't. Then when it was 17-10 Steelers, I was like, oh my God, the Ravens are going to score a touchdown right here, and they're going to go for two for the win and then get stopped. And I would have missed that bet. Glad it didn't at least play out like that, because I forgot to bet it.
Yeah. Not a conventional way to get to 17 points, but gosh darn it, they did. So shout out to the Steelers. They'll be back in a couple of weeks. So that brings us to
well-deserved week off now.
Oh yes. Very well-deserved. All right, let's move on here to week six, man. We're just moving right through this football season. No guest with us, by the way, tonight. We're going to make this nice and efficient this week for everybody. We got a lot of wrestling to watch tonight, and we got a lot of hockey to watch tonight. Look out for a new episode of Snake on Puck to kick off the Penguin season. We'll do a little hockey here coming up once I feel a little bit better. All right, Len, Thursday night game, it's a wash. Broncos at the Chiefs. I don't think either one of us have the balls to take the Broncos on the road, do we?
No, we're taking Chiefs. So the only question here is if the Chiefs get the 50 or 50-plus, I would say, because the Dolphins put 70 on them. The next week, the Bills put 48 or something on them, something like that, or whatever. And the Broncos, their defense is abysmal, despite the fact that been okay against the Jets, but the Jets offense is awful. So it'll be Chiefs. I think it'll be Chiefs easily.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And you know, Russ, with another big blunder at the end of that game. Just it's crazy. If you look at his stats, I just looked at his stats, got 11 touchdowns, 2 picks, 1,200 yards. It doesn't set 67% completion. It's like, you would be like, oh, that's pretty good. I mean, honestly, I'll take it.
Yeah, and they had some running game going there with John Jaleel McLaughlin. He was running pretty good, had some splash plays, but yeah, they just couldn't eke one out last week against the lowly Jets, who were showing a little bit of life, a little bit of life in their offense, maybe. We talked about it. Zach Wilson came in there. He was acclimated to the rarefied air up there in Denver, and he was used to it, and they got a victory against the Broncos. But the Broncos aren't going to win this week. Sorry. All right, Len, we're moving on to Sunday now. This one is at 9:30 a.m. I'm going to guess this one's in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, England. And it involves the Ravens at the Titans, which is a very interesting game. Which one of these teams is going to travel better, do you think, Len?
Well, I'll tell you. I don't think the Titans are very good, so that's the starting point with all that. And I think, really, if they would have thought it through, this offseason would have been a perfect time to tear this team down and start over. Tannehill, you know, unload him. Henry's clearly lost a couple steps. I feel like it would have been a good idea. You're going to draft Levis anyway to maybe start fresh this year. They didn't do that, so they will be competitive as normal. The Ravens, Just find ways to lose games. You know, they find ways to win games and they find ways to lose games. They're a very weird team to watch because there's halves and quarters and whole games where they look like, oh, these guys could like beat the Chiefs or something in the AFC Championship. Then there's halves and quarters where they look like they're the absolute worst team in the whole league. So it's very odd. This week, obviously, the loss to the Steelers was highlighted by several dropped touchdowns, just a galore. I mean, it's like almost impossible to imagine. But in this particular game, I'm going to take the Ravens to get back on track. I just think they're a little better than the Titans. They're actually a lot better. So I think they'll win.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens, a lot of self-inflicted mistakes last week against the Steelers, no doubt. Three huge blunders by three different first-round draft pick wide receivers, I might add. They have four on the team, by the way. I didn't realize that until the game.
Even Andrews had one go right through his hand.
He did. He had his usual nice game against the Steelers, but they needed those receivers to step up to really round out that offense, and they did not come through. Zay Flowers had a nice little game, but they need more from that offense. And Marlon Humphrey got torched by George Pickens on his return as well. I'm going to take the Ravens in this one too, Len. Ravens fly. They're flying across the ocean. That's my only reason. This could go either way, though. The Titans seem like a real London-y type team, though, I'm going to say. Like,
You're right about that.
They could play in London. I hate the way these...
Rainy, depressing, boring.
Yeah. I hate the way these soccer teams are named over there. Tottenham Hotspur. Get out of here. I don't even...
Oh, I hate pretty much everything about soccer. I do watch Welcome to Wrexham on FX/Hulu. I really enjoyed the first season. Second season, I just watched a couple episodes today, actually. It's not quite as intriguing because the first season was kind of new to me, like learning. I enjoyed learning about the league, but then I don't care about it still, right. You know.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed learning it, though. So, like, last year, I actually really liked the series. This season, it's been a little bit less exciting. However, I agree with you. The teams they play, the names are just horrendous. They're so stupid. Yeah. And these teams, the one team that today they were talking about on the one episode I watched was just like a club team, and now they're playing them guys. So they're playing Wrexham, and they're trying to like get promoted, all this stuff. It's very weird. But yeah, I don't know. Talk some for me.
I mean, we do have the Broncos playing the Chiefs this week too, so I'm not sure we have much room to talk in American football terms either.
But, right.
Yeah, it is weird over there. It's so confusing. There's too many teams, and they're all named something stupid. United this, club that, Hotspur. Come on. All right.
Right.
All right, yeah, so... Soccer teams, dumb. Football, American football, great. On to the next. That's right. So on to the next game here, Len. We got the Red Hogs at the Falcons. Falcons had a nice little victory last week, right? Hogs came up a little bit short, I believe. Mm-hmm. Sam Howell is a mixed bag, looks like. Falcons had a nice defensive outing last week. And as one of my favorite teams, I got to take them at home there. Len, do you agree?
You know what? I'm going to take the Commanders here. No real rhyme or reason other than, you know, I like Ritter. Actually, both these quarterbacks, as you get with first-year starters, are a mixed bag, as you said. This week, Ritter, big comeback win against the Texans. He looked like a very, very good NFL quarterback, 300-plus yards. Had a great comeback, like great game-winning drive to set up Young Wei Koo. And... the Commanders did not look good, you know what I mean? So you don't know what you're going to get from either of these teams, but I'm just going to go with the Commanders. I just like them better than the Falcons.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, that could go either way for sure. Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta in this one. All right, Len, Vikings. They'll be out without star receiver Justin Jefferson, just like my fantasy team, which is now in shambles thanks to that. Not looking good for the Vikings, just underachieving to a T. But they get to face the Bears at Soldier Field. This could go either way, too. Len, what do you think? Vikings at Bears?
Yeah, so the Bears had obviously their best performance this season Thursday night last week against those Commanders, and they really put it on them. Fields looked awesome. The Commanders looked disgusting. And so you're riding a little bit of momentum. The Vikings did what the Vikings do. they lost to someone by seven. It doesn't matter who it is. They play up, they play down to their competition. Doesn't really matter. They played the Chiefs this week, right in the game. Cousins, you know, around midfield, got a chance for a Hail Mary. He gets completely smashed in the pocket with like a three-man rush. I don't know how he doesn't get, you don't get a Hail Mary off in that situation. Nonetheless, they lose by seven. What else is new? So, Vikings at Bears. You know, the Bears had some injuries to their backfield. I don't know how that's going to work out. The Vikings lost Justin Jefferson. Obviously, big blow, big blow. One of the biggest you could have in the NFL. But I'm going to go Minnesota against my better judgment. I don't like the Bears at all. And even though they played great this week, I just don't trust them. Cousins, you know, Addison's going to have to step up, and he has played well this year. So I am excited. I'm definitely excited to see him as like a number one, although I'm not sure he's ready for that, but it's interesting. So I'll take the Vikings.
All right, if you're going to take the Vikings, I was leaning that way too, but I really need to make up some ground after a piss-poor showing last week, so I'm going to take the Bears at home. Maybe they round into form here. Their running game, Roshon Johnson should come back, I think, and he looks pretty good. He was out with concussion, with, of course, extended rest. They have Dunta Foreman they can bring in as well, and I think they signed somebody else off the streets. What's his name? He used to play for the Titans. I can't think of it right now. But either way, Bears at home. Fields continues a little upward tick here, and they get it done against the Vikings, who, like you said, just, man, it's as bad as it can be sometimes to look at that miserable offense for my Pittsburgh Steelers. I can only imagine being a fan of, like, the Vikings and some of these terrible close losses. Same with the Chargers. Like, that's got to be even worse. Like, your team has the shell of a good offense, a good team, but they just can't get it done in crunch time. All right.
Yeah, it's rough for sure. All
right, gotta make sure you got Minnesota there. Okay, we're on to your Seahawks at the resurgent Bengals. Len, I got to take the Bengals at home here against the Seahawks, but I think this is going to be a good game. What do you think?
This is a good game for sure. You got first signs of life from Cincinnati. Burrow looked like Burrow this week for the first time. Chase looked uncoverable, which obviously scares me a lot because Seattle's pass defense has been a little bit suspect, despite, you know, their stats all looking bad because they had the Giants this past week and really just smashed them. But against a good offense, their pass rush has been non-existent, and their coverage has been suspect. So I'm worried. Now, Seattle coming off a bye, early bye. But hopefully that means they'll get Jamal Adams back after he suffered a concussion on the ninth play of the season after he missed 400 days or whatever. So maybe we'll get Adams back. The first nine plays he had, he was impactful, so hopefully we get him back. But, yeah, it's a tough game. I honestly think I'm going to take the Bengals at home as well. I'm sorry, I'm going to take the Bengals at home as well. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
But I think they need it a little more than Seattle. I think they'll show up a little more than Seattle, and Seattle's going to have a hard time guarding Jamar Chase, I think.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see this one. Seahawks coming off a bye week. They get an extra week to prepare. Burrow scrambled a couple times in that game, looked a little bit more like himself, and they said that injury should be getting a little bit better. So maybe he's out of that calf injury danger zone, and he'll be getting out of it as the weeks go on. And you got to think that means nothing but good things for the Bengals, who are going to be looked to coming from behind in the AFC North to catch the first-place Steelers and ascend to that spot where I think everyone expects them to be at the end of the year towards the top. So we'll see if they can keep rounding the corner there against a tough opponent traveling all the way across the country in Seattle. All right, Len, speaking of another team that's got a long way to fly this week is the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Cleveland Browns. 49ers honestly look like the best team in the league. On either side of the ball, they just seem like they're the most well-rounded. Brock Purdy has not lost the game he's started yet, right? And we got the Cleveland Browns, who Deshaun Watson is a little bit banged up as well, I believe. Some question marks there. Their defense is pretty good, though, but I got to think San Francisco takes care of business in Cleveland. What do you think, Len?
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with San Francisco too. I agree with you. They look like easily the best team in the league, but that most complete team for sure. Brock Purdy, as much as this is blasphemy to me, reminds me a ton of Tom Brady. He just reminds me of Tom Brady the way he played football, and with that organization and that comparison, I would be very. I'm very scared about the Niners being unstoppable for or being at least in the mix for the next 5-6 years. And as a Seahawks fan, that's obviously troubling to me. The Browns, you don't even know if they're gonna have Watson. The reports are if Watson doesn't start, they're going with PJ Walker over DTR, who they started last game. PJ Walker, a little more experience, obviously. But if they don't have Watson, they're certainly not beating the Niners. If they do have Watson, they're also certainly not beating the Niners, probably. But yeah. Their defense can keep them in it. So, if Watson was there, but they're not winning this game. It's a tough one. So I got San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't even think their defense is going to keep them in this. And that's a great comparison, Len. I mean, it's hard not to draw those comparisons between Purdy and Brady. Obviously, he's got several Super Bowls to win before we really draw those parallels.
But yeah.
Late round draft pick, smug look on his face, I want to say, and I mean that in the best way possible. Just, you're right. He just reminds me a lot of Tom Brady physically, play-wise.
So poised. So quick with the ball.
Right.
So quick with the ball. Decisions, accurate. I mean, it's uncanny, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. We'll see if he can keep that trajectory. It's quite the trajectory to keep up with.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah, very detailed fly, but
he's off to a good start, so. All right, the Saints are fresh off a win last week. They visit the Texans. They were fresh off a little disappointing loss there. So Saints at Texans. This one doesn't get more interesting than this, quite honestly. I'm not even sure where to go here. I'm going to take the Saints on the road here, I think. They didn't look too bad last week, and the Texans, a little bit of a comeback game after a big win against the Steelers. Len, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Texans lost a tough game, but Stroud continues to impress. I mean, he drove him right down the field, length of the field, hit Dalton Schultz to take that lead. Unfortunately, the defense couldn't keep the Falcons from getting into scoring position, but he did his job. Still hasn't thrown an interception. Stroud looks amazing. But I agree, though, I'm going to take the Saints as well, just because the Saints have not looked amazing by any stretch, although they pounded the Patriots. The Patriots might be the worst team in the league. It's gross. The Saints pounded them last week, but the Texans will play. I think it'll be tough. I think this is going to be a really good game, a tight game, and I'd take the Saints by like 4.
Yep. It's going to be a tight one for sure. I could see it going either way. Next up, Len, we got the Colts, led by Gardner Minshew, with Anthony Richardson out with a shoulder injury. They visit the Jaguars, who come back to their home of homes in Jacksonville after a long, long vacation over there in London, where they went 2-0. But they looked a lot better. A little bit of an issue there with a calf for Trevor Lawrence, I do believe. But they seem to be clicking on all cylinders. ETN's running really well. Ridley's fitting in nice, making some big plays. Kirk's going. I think they might have lost Zay Jones for a little bit again. But, yeah, that running game, Lawrence is getting going. A little bit of an injury concern there, though. But it's going to be a very good game against Minshew and the surprising, I'll say, Indianapolis Colts. But Len, what do you think? You got the Jags at home here?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jags. Sunday looked the best Lawrence has looked. He controlled that game against Buffalo from start to finish. Unfortunately, he had two really costly fumbles. And one thing he does still lack and he needs to improve is his pocket presence and getting the ball out of there when he's under pressure. I mean, he does get strip sacked a lot, and he holds the ball in there a lot when he needs to get the ball out of there, I would say. However, he looked good. This is the best he's looked to this point this season. And, Minshew obviously will play his ass off. He'll probably keep him in the game, maybe even win the game. But I'm going to take Jacksonville. The Colts have certainly overachieved. Now they got Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor there for like a two-headed monster. Moss has looked really good so far this year. You get Taylor back. So it's interesting, but I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jags here. A little bit of a concern, I think, when you're gone that long coming back, what the travel's going to bring. You got a lot of things to catch up with at home, bills to pay. You got to take the trash out for 2 or 3 weeks. you know, a lot of distractions.
Absolutely.
But I got the Jags here at home too, but I think it's going to be another close one for sure. All right, Len, these two teams are used to the sun, fun in the sun. The Panthers visit the Dolphins, and Bryce Young, a little bit of a better game, but still some costly turnovers as well, playing catch up. He threw three touchdown passes last week. No doubt his best statistical performance, but has really shown still that offense and inability to really lead that team to victory. A lot of work left to do there. A lot of growing pains to go through, but they seem to be sticking with him, I think, for the time being. But you got to think the Dolphins get it done here at home. Don't you agree, Len?
Yeah, Dolphins lose Achan, one of the most electrifying players to bust on the scene this year, with a little knee injury, so he's going to miss a few weeks, it looks like. But they have plenty. They have plenty in the cupboard there in Miami. They're going to put a bunch of points on Carolina. Carolina's just not very good. I think Bryce Young is going to be good. I think he's definitely going to be a good player. But right now, he's in a tough spot, and they're just not going to be able to keep up with Miami.
Yeah, and I think they might have another injury-prone running back, Jeff Wilson. He'll probably run for 200 yards. He might come off IR soon, so maybe he'll be back. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, they're going to put up points either way against Carolina. Their defense is really trying to keep them in games as much as they can. But yeah, there's still a lot of growing pains. But it'll be interesting to see two diminutive quarterbacks go at it in Bryce and Tua. So we'll see.
Yeah.
To Alabama.
All Alabama quarterbacks, too.
It's everyone's an Alabama quarterback. Speaking of the Alabama quarterbacks, Len, we got another one in this next game. We got Mac Jones, although I don't know how much longer he will be the starting quarterback there, because there's rumblings for sure. There might be Zappy time, maybe some other time, who knows. But the Patriots, as you alluded to earlier, do not look very good, and they travel to Vegas and the Josh McDaniels revenge game. But I got to think the Raiders take this one at home. Patriots just look miserable.
Yeah, this game is as unwatchable as any NFL game you'll see is this game right here. Who the fuck wants to watch one play of this game? Zappy was pretty bad this week too, or he'd probably be the starter right now. Unfortunately, Matt Corral, who they acquired in the offseason, I was a big fan of, from the Panthers, he was having some sort of, mental health issue or something, stepped away from the team, stopped showing up. So he's on the non-football injury list. So he's not available. This could have been maybe an opportunity for him if he was in the right headspace. But, I agree. I'm going to take the Raiders too, but I have no confidence in them either. I think they stink. They beat Green Bay Monday basically because Christian Watson got horse collared, or they would have lost that game. If Peters doesn't run him down and horse collar him down at the five and stop that touchdown, I think the Packers win that game, despite Jordan Love being god awful. My God, Jordan Love, terrible in this game. And if Watson scores there, though, they're up 17-10, and I think they actually hold on to win that game. But they got drugged down. They had to settle for three, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, Raiders win.
Yep, Raiders win. But, yeah, no one's looking forward to this one at all. Yeah, and the narrative, the McDaniels game, I don't like him at all. So we'll just move on from that one. How about it to the very powerful Detroit?
This is a fun game.
This is the game of the week for me. And we got the Lions on the road against the Buccaneers coming off the bye week. And, oh, boy. You know what, Len? They're getting Jameson Williams warmed up. I'm not sure if Amon-Ra will be back, but that offense continues to run pretty smoothly. But outside the dome, in the hot weather down there in Tampa, they're a little bit of a different team. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay in this one. What do you think, Len?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Goff's been a different player outside of the dome for sure. But the Lions have looked good for sure. And the only loss coming to Seattle in overtime. I think the Lions look good. The Bucs have surprised as well, like you said, coming off an early bye. But Baker's played well. I think they got Mike Evans back, I believe. They're wearing the creamsicles this week. So if they're wearing the creamsicles, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. I just love those uniforms. So I'm going Buccaneers here over the Lions in a mild upset. would say.
Yeah, this is going to be
a game of the week. I think this week is Seahawks Bengals personally. But
well, that's your we can have two games of the week. That's okay.
Well, 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock. That's a good way to split them up.
That's a a good point about the creamsicles. I do like those jerseys as well, but my God, were the Buccaneers awful whenever they wore them. So maybe that's not such a good move. They're probably the worst team in NFL history when they wore those jerseys over a long span. All right, Len, the St. Louis Rams host the St. Louis Cardinals here in Los Angeles.
Battle for St. Louis.
That's right. do you think the Cardinals are coming out the mud, Len?
I tell you what, one of these teams is coming out the mud for sure. I think if I had to pick one, the Cardinals seem like they're more out the mud. The St. Louis Rams have successfully transitioned into an LA team with McVay and everything. They seem LA-ish. A lot of white, good looking guys on that team, something like that. Like a Hollywood kind of team. Whereas Arizona is more out the mud, current Arizona, former St. Louis, currently way more out the mud, being led by Josh Dobbs. Dobbs' worst game as the season this past week. Not a pretty performance, and they lost James Conner to the IR. So, did you get a bid on DeMercado, Mike?
I'll probably put in a bid for him with what money I have left. Yeah, unfortunately, I still got to get the bidding thing in fantasy down. I'm not wise with money in general and that extensive fantasy.
That's false. Hey guys, that's false. Mike is a fucking finance guy. Don't let him fool you. He's trying to point out.
I'm a sucker for a bargain, and I go bargain hunting too much instead of just splurging for, you get what you pay for.
Oh, now that's true. That I agree with.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't turn around and sell these players in fantasy football for very much once they have one bad week. So you got
Michael, whatever the fab budget, if it's 150, Michael probably have like 142 left at the end of the season, but he'll got a bunch of $1 guys throughout the year.
I think I'm down to like $58 right now. Why, I don't know. I spent a lot on Jameson Williams though, so hopefully that pans out. So we'll
that's an interesting buy.
Well, I only got him because one of my league mates picked up the wrong Jay Williams. So that's
heard about that. Yeah, what a great move.
Yeah. So I lucked out. Sometimes you get lucky, Len. And
sometimes better to be lucky than good, Mike, as they say.
Well, that's mostly fantasy anyway. So
that's 100% fantasy.
Who are we picking? Were we both picking the Rams here? They held up against the Eagles. They just couldn't eke it out at the end. But
yeah, I'm taking the Rams. They've played hard, close in every game. And actually so have the Cardinals pretty much. But losing Connor loses some of their top. That's in my opinion. And Dobbs might have kind of hit a wall here where teams are starting to figure out what he's capable of. I would say the Rams, if they're a better team, I'll take the Rams,
Yeah, I'll take the Rams as well. DeMercado, though, he looked all right, whoever that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know that. He's a rookie from, I think, TCU, I heard during the broadcast.
Yeah, he looked like a good little runner there, so I think he's worth some of your fab budget.
I mean, he'll be hot on the market. That I would assume he'll be getting short taken for sure.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, we said it, I think last week, Arizona's kind of already exceeded expectations. So, that will be an interesting game. The Cardinals could make a splash there against LA. So, Battle of St. Louis, we'll see who wins. All right, Len, we got two very green teams here. We got the Eagles traveling up the freeway, whatever it is there, to get to New York City. Very two cities that are very close, very nice food scenes. You got Philly visiting the Jets, who are off a big win over there in Denver. Philly just keeps on rolling. I got to take Philly here, though, Len. I'm not expecting any surprises here in New York. Do you agree?
No, yeah, I'm taking Philly. The Jets have won a couple in a row. Wilson's improved. He's shown improvement for sure. As far as just cutting down on mistakes and making some big throws. But he's going to face a defense that, while they've given up a lot of points this year, I would not want him to face a tough a young, good quarterback that has struggled. He's going to have a handful. I mean, that line is impressive. The rookie they got this year, it looks like one of the best
Carter, Taylor Carter. I mean, he looked super impressive at that back position. I think they're going to be all over Wilson. I'll take the Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Carter looks really good. Another steal for the Eagles there. Somehow they had a high draft pick. I don't know how, but you got to credit their management for staying on top of it and being progressive and building through those lines because, man, they just roll one monster after another at you on that line from, you know, up and down. You got Jordan Davis. You got Graham. You got Carter now. I mean, come on. It's an embarrassment of riches there.
Yeah, Rasan Radic. And there's just people coming at you from in waves for sure.
Yeah, and they got Dallas Goedert in the mix. He had a huge game last week. That
breakout game, there it is.
Devontae Smith was barely a factor, so they can just play off one of those guys, A.J. Brown, Smith, Goedert, and win. And I'm sure you might see the backfield shift maybe back to Gamewell at some point to give Swift a little bit of a blow, but both of those guys are capable. And, man, I just have lost count of how many times the brotherly shove happens during a game. And I can't wait till that play is outlawed because it's honestly ridiculous.
I agree 100%. I'll be so happy when it's outlawed. And don't forget, I mean, people might have forgotten, they also have Rashad Penny waiting in the wings in that backfield. They're just holding him out because they know he's only good for about 5-6 games. They're going to bring him out probably December, and then we'll see him for the playoff run.
Oh, yeah. Break out a shiny new Penny right around December. You're right. They churn through them, man. They understand that, especially in today's league, that you need that depth. You need depth across all positions. You need guys to be ready to step in and be fresh at the right time of year. And they're just one of those well-coached teams, and no doubt, I think, on a collision course with San Francisco. Man, I tell you what, you look across the league. You look at Miami. You look at Kansas City, San Francisco, Philly. Any of these matchups would be great Super Bowls right now, and you look at all of them, and you look; those are probably the four most likely teams at this point. And man, any of those would be stellar Super Bowl matchups, conference matchups. Really exciting towards the end of the year. I can't wait to see it. All right, let me look at my schedule here. All right, from the Battle of St. Louis to the Battle of New York, Len. You'll see a lot of fans argue that the Bills are New York's teams. A lot of fans argue that the Giants are New York's team. You got to think the Bills, though, back home at Orchard Park after a disappointing trip in London, lost to the Jaguars. They'll be ready. Bills Mafia will be ready with open arms to welcome back to the old stomping grounds there. The Giants look like they'll probably have Saquon Barkley back, but Daniel Jones is out now. They're just a mess. I got to take the Bills at home, Len. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Giants, even if they don't have Jones, they have Tyrod Taylor, obviously a serviceable player in the NFL, you know what I mean? But it doesn't really matter. The team stinks, and the Bills need this win. The Bills are going to win this game. Also, let's just start flexing these games. Anything that involves the Giants or Jets, and Broncos, any of those games that are Sunday night, Monday night, let's start moving these out of the rotation here. This is getting ridiculous. I don't want to watch these fucking teams play. I don't even care. Like, Seattle played Giants last Monday. I was happy for the Seahawks to get a Monday night game, but I don't want to see the fucking Giants. That would have been, if they flexed that, I would have understood completely because nobody wants to watch it. Let's get it out of there.
So, Fi Stadium will play host to their second game of Week 6 on Monday night. They'll get that turf cleaned up. They'll get the end zones repainted to welcome in the Dallas Cowboys. And what I say is the Pretender Bowl. And I don't think either one of these teams are honestly as good as they look on paper or their records say. And neither one of them will stand a chance at the end of the year. That being said, Cowboys at Chargers. Len, who do you got on Monday night?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. A couple frauds here, no doubt about it. The Chargers and Cowboys, not only frauds this year, perennial frauds. I mean, this is exactly how they are every year. It's not even surprising. They'll be good enough to get to the playoffs or just barely miss them. They'll be right in one playoff game, maybe. Maybe they'll lose it immediately, whatever. But they'll just be, you know, right in the middle. They're just annoying, but they will get talked about. Like their competitors and like their contenders for the majority of this season. No, nobody believes it. They just don't. I'm going to take the Chargers at home. Just no reason at all. But I can assure you this game if this game isn't decided in the final 2 minutes, I would be shocked, beyond shocked. If this game doesn't come down to the Chargers either winning it or blowing it, or Dak either winning it or blowing it, it would be earth-changing. So I would expect tune in about 11:30 p.m. and you can watch the last 2 minutes, and that'll be all that matters.
All right, this is a toss-up for me too, but I got to take Dallas to make up some games here on you, Len, after the bad showing last week. You could go either way in this one, no.
The Cowboys game, even though I said it was a Chargers home game, the stadium will be filled with probably 80% Cowboys fans.
Oh yeah, that always is. I don't even know why LA has two teams, let alone one team, let alone two. But here we are. This is not Stan Humphries, Natron Means, Junior Seau Charger. For sure, mid-90s, late-90s, these two teams would have been a much better game. I wouldn't be calling them pretenders, but here we are, 2023, and yeah, they're frauds, like you said. So, Fraud Bowl, Monday night, get ready for it. I wonder if this is a Manning Cast game. This would be a good Manning Cast game in L.A.
Probably will be. I would imagine it would have a Manning Cast. I agree with you. I think it probably would be.
Get some L.A. celebrities in there. That's week six. We got a couple teams on bye. The Steelers are on bye. The Packers are on bye. Two storied franchises get the week off.
Exactly. And Mike, you better get to the couch, get to your comfy spot or bed, wherever you go. Get yourself a little cup of a cup of soup, a little Lipton cup of soup, and you get a blanket around and you get wrapped up by 8 o'clock because NXT is going all in tonight, baby. Take down AEW Title Tuesday Dynamite Special Edition with Edge's debut. And NXT has brought all the big guns. Cena, Heyman, Asuka. I mean,
maybe Undertaker.
Maybe the Undertaker. This is wild. This is awesome. And I just like it. This is fun. And I love that it's NXT fucking taking them on. It's the best.
You know, there's a big controversy, it's not right word, but a lot of the dirts are talking about, you know, that both shows are half hour commercial free in the first half, right? And this is going to be some type of ratings war. I couldn't disagree less, Len. NXT is going to crush AEW tonight on Tuesday. Just humble them. Quite honestly,
I agree with you. I actually agree with you wholeheartedly, Mike. We're the most diehard NXT podcast out there. There's no question in my mind. I don't care what anybody else says. We're always on board. But this is our night. This is the night. This is the crowning of NXT as legit as could be. Also, Cody opening the show with a big announcement. I think we're going to see Jade Cargill here tonight. I think that's the announcement. Jade Cargill. I like something about her first match or something. I think we're going to pull out that gun as well. That's my assumption anyway.
Well, they already showed her getting out of the limousine and Triple H escorting her in. She was dressed like a superstar. I mean, that type of introduction, she's not going to be spending a minute more in developmental than she has to be with that kind of rollout. And they're making a big deal out of her, and rightfully so. I can't wait to see where that goes. Yes, she needs more ring work for sure. Hopefully she's working on that right now. But just her look and persona alone can make for some good programs.
Oh, yeah. The one thing about her look there at Fastlane, getting out of that SCP, I love that. Obviously, you want to show her in a good light, all that. Like, just have regular clothes on. Like, you're not wrestling or anything. Why would you be wearing that outfit?
Well,
you know what I mean? It was like your wrestling gear.
Len, you're just not hip to the fashion, I guess. I mean, that's
no, I am.
That's what you wear on the streets now.
I am hip to the fashion. Look, just think how awesome she would look if she just got out of there in a pair of jeans and like a tank top, like just look jacked as fuck. Like, that's what I wanted to see. Also, if she's there, like, put her in the front row for, you know, one of the matches, the women's match or something. Just put her there, at least have her get into a, you know, face to face with Asuka or Charlotte or something. Like, I think it kind of wasted it a little bit. I know that you don't want to tease that if she's way out, but I mean, if you're anywhere near having her on Raw or SmackDown, that would have been a perfect opportunity to introduce her, I think, like in the front of the crowd. But tonight would be another great opportunity, and I think they're going to take it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, right now I think NXT's in a little bit of a stage of evolvement, if you will. some moving pieces down there. Some, I think they're kind of waiting for some people to stand out, to rise to the top. They certainly have some potential there, but there's been a lot of injection of main roster talent. Certainly you're going to get it tonight for the ratings war, so to speak. But I'm waiting for some guys and girls to really step out and above and stand up to that superstar level. You think you got a few? Well, Mellow, Trick, you know.
Mellow, Trick, Dragunov, yeah. Tiffany have all done that already. I think they're already all established as at the next level for sure. But you're looking for the next level. You know what I mean? Like those, Braun, those guys are all main roster talents just waiting to get called up, in my opinion. But you got to get to the next level. I'm excited. I'm super into the breakout tournament, like I always am. I think that's pretty cool. So, you know, you get to see some of these young ladies that are a little green still, but you'll get to see a couple out of there that really catch your eye. I remember Tiffany in the breakout tournament. That's where she caught my eye. I immediately was in on Tiffany Stratton. I think this is an opportunity to see somebody like that, too. So there's a match from that tonight as well.
Yeah, no, let's be honest. Nobody's tuning in to see Edge's first match in AEW. It's nothing. It's meaningless. He just came back a few years ago. That was the needle mover at that point. Edge is the guy that goes up against the guy that draws. It's a great way I've seen someone describe him. Doesn't diminish him as a talent or a contributor to wrestling history the past two decades, but to me, he's just really never been that guy. It's the equivalent of kind of adding another Sting at this point. They've already got so many guys down there. I am interested to see what he does with Christian in that little program.
That feud will be fun for sure. Yeah, there's a story,
but they're burning it. They're shooting their shot right off the bat with him. After that's done, what is there? I don't know. Is he going to join Bullet Club Gold, or, you know, I don't come up
with Yeah, I mean, you're right. They're going right out of the gate. So I imagine, you know, that after that, obviously, they're going to try to get Christian and Edge together again at some point. They'll probably run them through some stuff before they turn Christian babyface, get them together at some point, and then probably less than a year, I would say. But, I agree with you 100%. That's a great assessment. He's a B-side, you know what I mean? And he's a great one, an all-time great one, but he's a B-side for sure. He's not the A side of any feud. He's the B side. And that being said, he does bring something to AEW they could use, in my opinion, and that is a strong, firm backstage hand that can get these guys to figure out what storytelling is. And if they use him in that vein, I think, honestly, he could be very valuable to AEW in that vein as like a producer and talent as well. But really helping these guys get over stuff that CM Punk never brought to the table that they probably could have got from him. He's just not a team guy. Edge is a team guy. So this is that's a big plus to him coming there, I think, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Some veteran presence, a guiding hand, if you will, is something they really need. That what they don't need is more on-screen clutter, to be honest with you.
Right.
And yeah, NXT's been doing good ratings, 800-some K on Tuesday nights at this point, and that's pretty much what AEW's been getting. So going head-to-head, it ain't going to be good for AEW. And they just kind of got the little brother syndrome bad right now, and I think it's really going to show tonight. So it will be an interesting night of wrestling.
Big Tom in his feelings on Twitter. I mean, he's just... He's really pressing the pushing this and
desperate,
really upset about all this, which is great.
Yep. And then we'll be having CM Nick and Don Dawson on here in a few weeks to go through our randomizer, which needed severely reprogrammed after all the cuts that WWE had. Several guys from the randomizer had to be pulled out to reprogram in some new ones. We'll have a good episode with them, Len. I'm going to get that on the schedule with you guys here soon so we can get that done before Survivor Series. CM Punk, the dirts, Len, what's the update on that?
Well, the dirts today, Sean Ross Sapp, one of the more reliable dirts out there, I would say, Fightful.com, reports that the higher-ups at WWE have told him there are no conversations taking place between WWE and CM Punk, and that a return is not in the cards at all at this point. That's what they're saying. Now, you know, that could definitely be to cool the buzz before SummerSlam, because you don't want it to just get broken into a you know, an all-out CM Punk chant the whole time before anybody's, you know, nobody gets to do anything. So they could be trying to quell the rumors a little bit. I don't know. It's hard to say. But they reported on that. So it seems like as of now, at least according to WWE and Sean Ross Sapp's sources, that they are not getting closer to a reunion. So you take that for what it's worth. I don't know if I believe it or not. But like I said, he generally does do a pretty good job reporting this stuff. Not that he's not missed, because he has, certainly everyone does. But he's done a pretty solid job, so we'll see. And the other thing he reported on, which he refuted, actually, I think maybe PWI Insider reported at first or something, that Velveteen Dream had been undergoing therapy, and he'd been making some appearances at the Performance Center trying to get back into good graces. That has been flatly refuted by the WWE and everybody at the Performance Center. So that was later, just very recently after the report came out, said that he has not been there at all, and there's no avenue to him returning to WWE, according to sources. So there's that too.
Oh boy, man, this is classic manipulation of the dirts right here, Len. This is definitely to quell.
You're right. It's definitely in play.
Is Sean?
I hope Velvet. Well, you know, Velveteen Dream. I'd probably spend more money on his stock than any person in the history of this show. So I'm dead broke from that. Obviously, he is not only out of WWE, out of NXT, but also just out of the favor of everyone ever.
Yeah,
so
that would take a minor miracle, I think, for him to resurface at this point. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, that sounds like a classic manipulation of the dirts by upper management there. The dirts are so susceptible to manipulation, but you know what?
They're just waiting for them. Yeah. That's basically what they're there for, right? Just to get manipulated.
Right. You know who doesn't get manipulated, though, is the laundry room. We promise nothing but clean, sourced rumors in the laundry room.
The laundry room has been, we're working to get our foothold on some good sources to really, before we launch the laundry room full force. But once we're like locked in that we're never ever gonna get fooled, then we'll come out with it's probably gonna be mostly a written form. It'll probably be a blog post on livingroomchamps.com from the laundry room here once all our sourcing's in place.
Yeah, we're just working on setting up those bedrock sources there within these organizations. But you can promise once we get our claws in there, you ain't getting us out. We're gonna make Sean Sapp and Meltzer just run away and cry, and once we're on the scene, Len. So we're getting there. That brings us to the last topic of the night. Connor Bedard, the phenom, makes his NHL debut against the current king of the NHL, Sidney Crosby. Len, looking down the road a little bit, where do you see Connor Bedard falling? Ahead of Crosby, behind? Where do you see him with Ovechkin and McDavid? Kind of the big four, the last four phenoms to come in the league. Where do you think Bedard ends up when it's all said?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought we were going to say this for my guest appearance on Snake on Puck, but I'll give it out now. I've decided tonight, 5:01 Eastern, when I had the TV on ESPN and it switched over to NHL Tonight or whatever it was, and the first thing they said is Connor Bedard makes his debut against the Penguins, I decided in that moment that I'm a big Bedard guy. So I'm gonna be a big Bedard guy. Now, do I think he's gonna surpass Ovechkin or Sid? That seems astronomically high as far as expectations, though, wouldn't you say? They're two of the greatest players that have ever played the game. So I don't think he'll reach that height. McDavid was before Bedard, probably is still, probably my favorite player in the league right now. I'm a big McDavid guy. So him and Bedard are going to be on, you know, my two guys going forward. But I think that they're going to be on par with one another as two of the leaders of the league, you know, going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to agree. Bedard is more of one of these new age, you'll see these, what are they, Gen Zers now, Len, who are all about the stick handling, just slick stick handling, taking hockey to the next level. You see what they
like
call
that. I like that a lot
more of what they call these Michigan goals, lacrosse-style goals. Guys are trying them all the time, where back in the day, I mean, you would get kicked out of the league for trying something like that. You would just get your head knocked off by some drunk goon out there, Bob Probert or fucking Darren McCarty or something like that would just kill you if you tried something like that. The NHL has changed and probably for the better, make it more interesting.
Definitely for the better, for sure.
Bedard looks like he's 10 years old, but a lot of these guys, Sidney Crosby, I mean, Bedard just looks so young. It's ridiculous and small, but he's more of the new age player. Does he have the two-way, 200-foot game, as they call it, that Crosby has? Probably not. But he's probably more in the mold of McDavid, just an offensive powerhouse. But you look at the last, I mean, he's the fourth in line. You know, you have Bedard, you had McDavid, Sid and Ovechkin, who are kind of the anointed ones before they come in, the next big things. You're LeBron James's, if you will, of the NHL, and they all hit. They all hit. So Bedard's got to keep that streak up to see if he can be the next phenom. And he's certainly got the hype. We'll see if he can live up to it. And he's got a tough test tonight against Sid, Gino, Erik Karlsson, and the Penguins. So we'll see what happens there.
I think I will say that Bedard's going to score a goal tonight. Let me tell you that.
Ooh, that's very interesting, Len. Very interesting. I was there for Sidney Crosby's first ever goal in the NHL, live and in person. I helped bring him into the league. So,
Yeah.
So we'll see. Bedard, Sidney didn't score in his first game. His first game wasn't at home, though. And I wanted to mention this last time because we keep talking about the Bears maybe having the first two picks. A big Chicago slant in professional sports getting these first round picks. The Blackhawks. Very questionable that they needed a first-round pick at this point. But they got it, and they hit a home run with Bedard, seemingly the next big thing. So we'll see. We'll see, Len. We will see. I don't know where you can see the game tonight, TNT. I don't know. So
Maybe it's TNT.
Frozen Frenzy starting tonight, or what?
I'll bet you one thing. Not many people are going to see it at all because it's an NFL game. So the audience won't be big. More people will probably be watching NXT and AEW than will be watching that hockey game. But we'll see.
CM Punk will be watching the Blackhawks, surely, right?
Oh, of course he will. Yeah, why wouldn't he? Yeah,
big Blackhawks guy. Well, that's wrestling, that's hockey, and that's week 6 in the NHL. Any final thoughts for us on this fine Tuesday evening, Len?
No, I'm good, Mike. That was a good episode. You really... The flu game performance there for you, a la Michael Jordan. I'm impressed, as usual.
Well, thanks. You know, sometimes it's sometimes you just, you know, you dig down deep to find it within you. I'm really struggling right now. My Celsius is not helping my scratchy throat at all.
So I got, we gotta go, though, because I gotta get home. I gotta get on the couch for NXT. I gotta be ready to go. 30 minutes commercial free. I can't fall behind.
Yeah, you're getting close to that loitering territory. Chief, Blaine Clark or whoever will be out there to pick you up here in no time. So we'll let you go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. For my co-host, Len Biggs, this is Mr. Just Right. Champs are out.
Out.
Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP.